The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle. Elliot Danka and Manisha Tank with you. Time to talk a little bit about sports because it is a huge money-making machine.
It certainly is. Popular franchises usually come from sports like basketball, football, baseball. But in recent years, we've seen the emergence of mixed martial arts take center stage in terms of viewership and even world tours.
Yeah, in North America, the MMA market has been dominated by Ultimate Fighting Championship, or UFC, since its inception back in 1993. What started as a bit of a fringe sport has since grown to earn deals with the likes of Reebok, getting sports coverage across network and cable TV.
And in 2016, UFC's parent company, Zuffa, was sold to a group led by William Morris Endeavor, or WMEIMG, including Silver Lake Partners, Kohlberg Kravis Roberts, or KKR, and MSD Capita for touch over $4 billion.
A lot of money. So they've got a TV deal, they've got expansion in Australia, Asia, Europe, new markets within the United States. Its increase in popularity has achieved greater mainstream media coverage. The promotion brought in a total revenue of over $600 million back in 2015, and its next domestic media rights agreement with ESPN was valued at $1.5 billion over a five-year term. In the studio to tell us more this morning is Kevin Chung, UFC Senior Vice President for APAC. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning.
Very exciting stuff. November 1993, fast forward so many years. Could you share with us the growth of UFC and really its impact on sports, in particular MMA?
Yeah, I've been with the company for 8 years myself. And so I think you can kind of look at it as three phases now. Basically, 93 till 2001 was the original ownership. And they definitely started the sport, as you said, a bit fringe, more spectacle.
Yeah.
And really, the next owners that came in, Zuffa, that company from 2001. And if you think about it, it's about as old as, you know, the iPod. I heard that this morning from 2001. So, you know, from that time, really the efforts that went into developing a mainstream sport started. And really what those were was, okay, sanction it around in the U.S., of course, and then around the world. Unify the rules. That was an important thing. Mm-hmm. And establish, you know, the weight classes and just the rules for athlete safety and everything else that the world needed to follow as far as the sport to kind of push it into the mainstream. And over that time, a lot of investment was made. There's always the saying that they invested $2 million in three letters, and then they turned it into this huge company. But of course, there's a lot of investment behind that as well. And so what they did was they poured that into it and came up with a lot of different things. Spike TV at the time was their partner,
yeah.
Developed the Ultimate Fighter, and they say the rest of it is history. You know, that really brought the human angle of the athletes, the training involved, and how technical of a sport it wasn't just a brawl. It's actually sport. And so from that point forward, you know, the trajectory has been amazing. I joined the company again in 2011. That was right when we were hitting mainstream in the U.S. with Fox Sports, our first deal with, we've since gone over to ESPN. And that really has brought it to a much broader audience. You see it on, you know, on SportsCenter, on all the regional sports shows, everything else. So the growth has really been amazing over the past couple of years.
So obviously your stronghold was traditionally the U.S., but you've seen UFC grow in other markets. Where are you strongest outside the U.S.?
Yeah, if you want to look at it since 2001, of course, Brazil, huge growth there all across Europe, in England in particular. If you want to talk the last couple of years, or the last several years, I should say, Australia, pound for pound, probably one of the best markets out there. And for us in Asia, China.
Yeah.
China has been the market that has most growth potential, as well as the most rapid growth. You want to say that. You know, in 2017, we took our event to Shanghai, sold that out. I mean, that was unimaginable when I first started with the company. You're kind of in a situation back then where there was a lot of misconceptions about the sport. You know, it hadn't hit the mainstream yet. There's a, you know, is it real? Is it fake? You know, the what are the rules? All of that sort of thing. And the way it was branded was not what, you know, we represent as a global iconic brand. And so now, you know, you look at it, fast forward to 2017, selling out Mercedes-Benz Arena, and then into 2019, we're on our third event there in China, and of course, all around Asia as well.
You've just come in from Shanghai. Let's continue talking a little bit about the growth in China. What are the challenges with there, and right now, what's your outlook looking like for China?
You know, again, it was more on the changing the perception and educating, especially the media and the fan base alike. We've always had a very loyal, passionate group of fans.
What about government support? Did they come in and help you guys sort of set up shop?
You know, not in the beginning. There was very little relationship that we had. Over time, though, especially with the establishment of our new Performance Institute in Shanghai, that was a recent investment we made. We opened in June earlier this year, and it's a facility, 8,000 square meters, world-class, state-of-the-art, dedicated to raising the bar on sport in the region, as well as developing mixed martial artists. That's when the government really took notice. I mean, you know, we're the official high-performance advisor for the Chinese Olympic Commission. So, you know, there is some exchange there. There is some relationship there as far as us being able to help their athletes perform at the highest level. So, you know, in that way, they've become quite supportive of our efforts and recognize us as not just a mixed martial arts promotion, but also a name in the high performance industry.
Kevin, representing your business in China can come with some challenges. We've seen the story with the NBA and Daryl Morey tweeting his support for the Hong Kong protesters. And then there was a backlash in China from that. A lot of the guys that are UFC fighters, they're on contracts, right? So there's not a great deal of control over what they might do and say. Does that present a bit of a challenge in this scenario?
You know, it doesn't. Of course, we follow the media like everybody else does, but that's not our issue. And so it would be inappropriate for us to comment on it. And at the end of the day, our athletes are independent contractors. And so, you know, we really focus on the competition at the end of the day. We focus on bringing the best of the best mixed martial arts. That's what our fans demand of us. And that's what we continue to invest in and promote and make, you know, ourselves go forward in that way.
As the backlash of the NBA tweet, has there been any like repercussions or sentiment with regard to American companies like UFC where China's concerned?
Not for us.
Have you seen it yet?
Actually, not for us. And again, I can't comment on every other sports property there, but not for us. And again, I think a lot of it has to do with the efforts and the investment that we're making in sports in general. And our Performance Institute is definitely a regional resource. We've looked to Korea, looked to Japan, looked to Southeast Asia. We recently just had a fighter from Thailand who's competing on this card train in there for several weeks, as well as a fighter from Singapore who's not on this card. But again, that's the type of outreach, that's the type of thing that we're doing to promote and develop the sport in the region.
Kevin Chang, UFC Senior Vice President for APAC. He's in town for Fight Night that's happening this Saturday, the 26th of October.
So, Kevin, MMA is this sport that sort of has risen suddenly. And when you look at it compared to, say, football or the other incumbent sports, how does it compare in terms of market share?
Well, football and basketball still the most popular sports out in this region. And I'd say in a few regions, baseball is quite popular as well. What we have, again, is a very loyal and passionate fan base that's definitely growing, as you mentioned, mentioned as the fastest growing sport in history. And, you know, when we look at overall numbers, there's just several kind of things that we take a look at. Of course, the overall, what's the total aggregate social media following, which we do, which we are behind the other sports. When we look at engagement, things like reads and likes and posts and views, those definitely and oftentimes, especially places like China, on an absolute basis outrank those types of sports. So what we have is a smaller group that's growing and a group that's eagerly and really, you know, looking to consume every piece of content that we put out there. And for us, that's the great way to start and that's a great way to spread.
Kevin, since you brought up the digital front, what's your take on esports? Your competitor in the region has gotten into esports. Is it disruption for traditional sports? Is there a way UFC can diversify in that sense?
You know, I think esports might overtake us as the fastest growing sport in the world, in the sense that, I mean, it's just grown to something that filling out 80,000 seat arenas all over the place and definitely with that younger demographic is something to behold. It's grown in popularity and everything else. I look at it like we focus on what we do well. And at the end of the day, what we do is we provide an international platform for the best fighters in the world to come and compete. And that's more or less what we're going to continue to focus on. It's not a direct competitor to us or anything else, as much as movies or Hollywood or anything or music or other forms of entertainment, just content in general. We're all competing for the same mind space. For us, we have to focus in on what we do and do it well.
I'm really glad you brought that up, because effectively, you know, huge disruption in the media industry and what media platforms can offer is probably a massive contributing reason why this has been the fastest growing sport, because it's content creation. People are loving it. People are consuming it. Mm-hmm. Are there any issues around all of the things that dog the media industry, like piracy, for example? And how is 5G rollout going to affect you?
You know, especially in early days, and still, it's not unique to us. That's all sports. That's all IP, I should say. Everybody has the issues with piracy. I think for us, what we aim to do is work with the best of the best media partners out there. And so, you know, if you're a true fan, if you're somebody who just doesn't like the disruption or all of the sort of hassles that come with looking for a pirated feed and that sort of thing, you know, it's very easy to turn it on and look for the authentic thing, the high quality signal, high quality production, everything else. The other thing we balance is what goes behind a paywall, i.e. in subscription-based, you know, pay TV platforms or OTT platforms, pay-per-view, that sort of thing, and what goes in front of it. And we aim to really provide a very locally relevant and freely available distribution platform for a lot of our content.
Was that some of the reasons why you moved from Fox to ESPN, or was that just a number?
It's a little both at the end of the day. But ESPN recognizes the worldwide leader in sport. It's been done fantastic things for us and our business in the U.S. But remembering that that's only contained to the U.S. And we have other partners in the region. In fact, Fox is a partner out here in Asia.
Kevin Cheng, who is the UFC Senior Vice President for Asia Pacific, in the studio with us. I want to talk about growing your presence. UFC gym, you've got one at CityLink Mall here in Singapore. And just to take it back home, a couple of UFC events happening here as well. There's a big fight night happening on Saturday, the 26th of October. How else are you looking to grow your presence in our country?
You know, it comes down, at the end of the day, it's not rocket science. I think all of us strive to do it, but it comes down to local talent development. Right. So at the end of the day, you have somebody who's from your country that you can root for, that you can identify with, that you can really follow through their career. And so that's where much of our effort is in that local talent, is providing them with that access and that resource to be able to develop their skills to hopefully someday have a chance to make it in the UFC. And that's what we found before, is we typically don't invest in the development piece of it. But, you know, sitting back through the years and typically sit back, wait for them to. There's no amateurs in the UFC, for instance. And so this influx of domestic and regional MMA promotions, that needs to happen for us. At the end of the day, we need to be able to have people who have experience, who have cut their teeth in other promotions, risen to the top, became champions or top contenders there, to be able to take that talent to the UFC. And we still noticed that there was a significant gap between where they were and where they needed to be for the UFC. And so that's where I think most of our investments and most of the way that we become locally relevant is.
Will we get an institute here too?
Potentially. You know, nothing is ever off the table.
Elliot, it's never too late. You have a martial arts background.
God, I'm a little bit old, but just for fun, ballpark figure, how much would it cost to develop a UFC fighter, UFC-worthy fighter? Ballpark figure.
Ballpark figure. Well, I'll tell you the components that go into it. For our scholarship program, we have over 20 coaches for our team, right? And our team's about 25 people at the moment, probably scale up
ratio.
To 50. Yeah, so I mean, there's a lot of training that goes into this, and that's on top of housing, and that's on top of food costs and all of those things. So it is really a big opportunity for these guys to come out there. They really cherish it. I mean, the buy-in rate has been incredible. There's nobody skipping class, if you will. Yeah. We call it the UFC Academy for a reason. I mean, they come in there and everything's custom for them. So there's a lot invested in each one of these athletes.
I'll be in the seniors category.
Age ain't nothing but a number.
Oh, gosh. Kevin Cheng, UFC Senior Vice President for Asia Pacific, in the studio with us. Kevin, thank you so much for taking the time this morning.
Thank you both.
Thank you both.
Pleasure.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.